This morning's scripture comes from Matthew, the 6th chapter, verses 34. And the title of the lesson today is Life All Day, Every Day. And it reads, "Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." May we continue to pray for one another and uplift one another. Amen.
Our God, He is alive. On the fourth stanza, we are staying on the fourth stanza. We got four verses of Our God is Alive. We're staying up on the fourth one. There is beyond the azure blue a God concealed from human sight. He tinted the skies with heavenly hue and framed the world His great mind. There is a God, He is alive. In Him we live and we survive. From dust our God createth man. He is our God, the great I am. There was a long, long time ago a God whose voice the prophets heard. He is the God that we should know, who speaks from His inspired word. There is a God, He is alive. In Him we live and we survive. From dust our God createth man. He is our God, the great I am. Secure is life from mortal mind. God holds the germ within His hand. Though men may search, they cannot find, for God alone does understand. There is a God, He is alive. In Him we live and we survive. From dust our God createth man. He is our God, the great I am. Our God, whose Son up on a tree alive was willing there to give, that He from sin might set men free and evermore with Him could live. There is a God, He is alive. In Him we live and we survive. From dust our God createth man. He is our God, the great I am.
John chapter 10, verses 27 through 28. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Amen. What a wonderful morning to say. Good morning. Good morning to you. And I want to tell you, whether you're a member of this Franklin family or a visitor or a virtual guest, I'm grateful that you are here with us today. And grateful that God has brought us together for yet another opportunity for worship, praise, and fellowship among those who would be the saints of God. You know, sometimes you have jigsaw puzzles, and you have maybe the main piece in the middle, and you have other scattered pieces on the table that's already put together, but the whole puzzle isn't put together. We're going to kind of be like that this morning with our lesson. I'm not going to give you any particular verses to turn to, but I'd like you to track with me as we do this lesson entitled All Day, Every Day. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 19, the Bible says, we know that we are of God. And the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked. When we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. 1 John 5:19. You know, there are two facts that are presented here. Number one, we are of God. And number two is, the wicked one rules the world. And if the wicked one rules the world, how do we live a life in Christ? And how are we supposed to win when everything in the world around you is just about wicked? It's wicked. So let's begin by being upfront and honest this morning. Living the Christian life can be extraordinarily difficult. Life itself can be extraordinarily difficult. People call it by many different names, a rat race, a struggle. Life is not good. People think about life in different ways, but the Christian life can be extraordinarily difficult, especially if two things are true. If Christianity is only your weekend hobby, it's always going to be a challenge to you. Your struggle to please God will always be ongoing if it's a weekend hobby. I can bet you that there are people who believe that God is always occupied by something else through the week, and then Sunday comes along and he drops in just to see who has come by to visit him, to see who worship him. He's somewhere else doing something else through the week, but on Sunday he's coming by to see. Listen, if that's your view of God and Christianity, then you're already struggling with life that God has called you to. It's a wrong-headed view. Now, I know no one is going to admit to that Christianity is their weekend hobby, but if that's in your heart, it's going to be really hard to allow the Lord to lead you where he wants you to go. The second thing is this. If Christianity is your good luck piece, if you just use your faith as a get-out-of-jail-free card, life in Christ will be really tough for you. It's going to be tough. I mean, people go about their lives every day, and most people go about their lives, and when they have a little minor difficulties, they feel they can take care of that. It's no problem. They say, I've got this little problem. It's nothing at all. I can handle it. And if they have a moderately difficult circumstance, they say, you know, I can take care of that too. I got this. But when the big challenges come and when the big ordeals stop by and just knock you to the ground, then they immediately want help from God. So God is to them no more than a way out. God is a good luck piece. I've got this good luck charm. In case anything goes on, I've got it right here in my pocket. You know, sort of like a fire extinguisher. It's always there hanging around. But when you need it, it's a relief knowing that you can use it in an emergency. When you need it, it's a relief knowing that you can put the fire out. If that's all there is to your relationship with God, it's going to be very hard for you to say yes to the Christian life. God is more than just putting out little fires. But as I look into my own heart, I got to tell you, as I'm honest with myself and I look into my own heart, and as I look among you as you see this morning and those that are listening, the truth is that we all want to do better than that. I know that we do. We want to live better than that. We want the life we live for God to be real. We want the life we live to God to be pertinent and valuable. We want it to be more than just a weekend hobby or a good luck piece to us. We truly want to live for God. We do. So how do we accomplish that? How do we live that kind of life for God? Number one is that you can live your Christian life one day at a time. One day at a time. It's amazing how much trouble we try to borrow. You know, in the book of Job, it says, man that's born of a woman is but a few days, and he's full of trouble. And it's amazing to me how much trouble we try to borrow when there's enough trouble already. A circumstance pops into your life, and our minds are already racing. We have gone from A to Z with everything that could possibly go wrong, from 1 to 100, worrying about any and everything, just looking to borrow some trouble. And if we're not looking to borrow trouble, Satan comes along and we're looking to make trouble for somebody else. God speaks about trying to live our lives on a daily basis. It goes like this. He says, when you pray, it's God, give us our daily bread. He also said, if anyone wants to follow me, he must take up his cross daily. Listen, the Bible is filled with scriptures that tell us that we've got to learn just to take care of today. Today. And again, I realize that there are a lot of us who try to live Christianity on a weekly basis. You can't do that and succeed spiritually. Listen to me. You can't do that. If Sunday is the only day you try to live a Christian life, you can't do that. How can you take care of a whole week's worth of faithfulness in just one day? If not living that way Monday through Saturday, and that you can come into a building or live stream on Sunday and just turn on your Christianity, you're not living for God, and you know that. Listen to me. You can't. Can you hear me? I grew up in the Baptist church, and Monday through Saturday, we did whatever we wanted to do, wicked as it could be. Sunday morning, you put that radio on and blast gospel all through the house, trying to turn on Christianity that we didn't have. Amen? You can't. Did I say good morning to you? You can't do that. You can't just turn it on. It's a daily process. Christian life doesn't work that way. It's all day, every day. It's a daily process. It's a daily walk with God. How you doing with that? How you doing with it? Understand that there are many individuals who are not overtly ungodly. I understand that. And it's not that God is defied. It's just that God is ignored. We got too many things on our minds. Too many things we got to do. And I know that you're not overtly ungodly. You're just ignoring. Where you at with that? How you doing with that? You're just ignoring God. And you can't make up for it on a Sunday morning. It takes a daily effort to be more like him. It takes a daily effort to think about him. It takes a concerted effort to be concerned with the will that God has for your life. So how do we live that kind of life for God? You know what it's hard to do? It's very hard to live a whole life all at one time. It's an impossibility. What are you saying to me, Brother Collins? When you try to live your whole life at one time, it's overwhelming. I mean, it's hard enough trying to plan one day, let alone a whole life. Think about it. You can't live your entire Christian life on the front end. And let me just say this while I'm passing. You can't live your life for somebody else either. You can't live your life for your kids or your husband or your wife or your aunt or your uncle. It's hard enough living your own life. You can't live your entire Christian life on the front end. So the way you do it is to live it all day by day. Live it all every day for the glory of God. Live it all week by week. Live it all month by month. Live it year by year. But you got to start out by doing it every single day, all day. I mean, just think about it. As a Christian, think about all the temptations in a lifetime that you're going to face. Just any little seduction that turns your heart away from God, any little small seduction, it's impossible to navigate and handle that on the front end of your Christian life. You can't deal with all the temptations and all the joys and all the disappointments and successes all at one time. You can't. You need a frontal lobotomy. You just be happy all the time. You can't deal with Christian growth all at one time. Listen, when kids grow up too fast, something's wrong, amen? The pituitary gland has a problem. I'm telling you, when they grow up too fast, you can't deal with all that at one time because it's staggering. Life becomes staggering. Because what life does to each and every one of us, listen to me, nobody's different. It comes at us all at one time, doesn't it? It just comes, and there's nothing you can do about it. It's coming. It's coming at you right now. And so what God does is he gives us one 24-hour period to do what's right today. Just today. Just today. Matthew 6:34, the scripture reading. Therefore, if we just got today, 24-hour period, do what's right. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. How you doing with that? It's impossible to live the Christian life all at once. You're going to have to do it daily, day by day, all day, every day, every day. You know what we have to do as well? We've got to make Christianity our passion. If we're going to live for God the way, a life that he's called us to live, we've got to make Christianity our passion and not our pastime. You see, because passion involves the heart. That's what it involves. And living for God means giving your heart away to God. When you talk about the Christian life, what you're doing is giving, listen to me, you're giving your heart away to God. You ever gave your heart away? It means that having a relationship with God is because you've given your heart away to him. It means more than just having the religion, but a relationship. It means not just knowing the book, but knowing the author of the book. It means more than just talking about the superficial, like buildings and songbooks and pews and religious things. It means we are going to do everything to cultivate a meaningful relationship with God. And that's accomplished by giving your heart away to God. Let me just tell you this, and it's personal, but my life is an open book here. I fell in love 38 years ago, August 11th. 38 years ago. And I gave my heart away. And it seems as if everything and everybody was opposed to us marrying. But I got to tell you, I didn't see the difficulties at all. I didn't see what they thought they saw at all. And I didn't see it because I had given my heart away. The application is that what God wants as well? He absolutely wants our heart. You ever gave your heart away to God? You say that you love God, but have you ever given your heart away to God? You know, when Jesus spoke to the higher-ranking Jews, the ones that were truly religious among them, his ongoing indictment was this: you don't know God. You don't know God. He says it over and over and over again in John chapter 8. You persecute me, you accuse me, and you're trying to kill me. And if you knew who I was and you knew my father, you wouldn't be trying to do that. You don't know God. And you know what? They were offended because they thought they knew everything about God. You ever meet anybody like that? You know everything about God. So what Jesus says, yes, you know everything about God, but you don't know God. Isn't that a sad commentary? Live all your life knowing everything about God, but you just... He says, you don't know God. You don't know him. So the point is that when you give God your heart, it'll make all the difference in your daily relationship with him. It'll make all the difference all day, every day, in your spiritual life with God. It'll change your perspective. It'll change your mind. It will change your life. If you give your heart away to God, love is an understatement, wouldn't it? Love is an understatement even with God, because he pours his love out on us even to the point when we didn't even deserve it. You know what I think? I think we don't talk about loving Jesus enough. And some talk about him as an excuse not to repent. I got to tell you, if love is involved, sorry should come with the quickness. It should come with the quickness. And without a thought, love means trust and communication, caring for another one's interests and commitment. And it also means saying I'm sorry when you need to. Nobody wants to repent before God. Nobody wants to tell God that they're sorry for nothing, but they love him. No wonder Jesus says where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. So if Jesus has your heart, it shouldn't be difficult to please him. If Jesus has your heart, it shouldn't be difficult to serve him or to walk with him. In fact, if you give him your heart, it will be harder not to do those things. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 14. I want to show you this in a couple different versions. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 14, Paul says these words. For the love of Christ compels us. New King James Version. In the King James Version, he says, for the love of Christ constrains us. In the Amplified Version, he says, for the love of Christ controls and compels us. And what that scripture tells me is that the love of Christ leaves us no other choice. If we are in love with God, as we say we are, the love of Christ leaves us no other choice. If you give him your heart, if you've given God your heart, you are eager to do what he's asked you to do, and you're eager to live not only for him, but you're eager to live with him as well. Here's the statement, Lord, come quickly. But that's if you've given him your heart. How are you doing with that? So how do we accomplish the Christian life for God? Here's what we do. We lift our hearts and lift our eyes, looking to heaven, and we consider the alternative. Let me say that again. We lift our hearts, we lift our eyes, looking to heaven, and we consider the alternative. Revelation 21:8, cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderous, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars will have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. We look to heaven and we consider the alternative. The devil, Revelation 20:10, who deceived them, was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. We look to heaven and we consider the alternative. Proverbs 27:20, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. We look for the alternative, Matthew 18:9, and if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Cast it away from you. If your eyes are not satisfied, pluck it out. It's better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes and going to hell. We take our eyes and we look to heaven where Jesus Christ is our life.
and we consider the alternative and we live for God because we don't. Let me tell you something. I can tell you without reservation, I don't want anything to do with what the Bible teaches about hell. We've heard a lot of sermons. We've heard in the past about the geography of heaven and the temperature of hell. And that's enough to deter me from any other thoughts beyond the thoughts of heaven. Let me just say this, though. There's more to being a Christian than just avoiding hell. Amen? The positive side is living in such a way, day by day, all day, every day, live in such a way that you're ready for heaven. Again, the question is, how you doing with that? You ready for heaven? You ready right now? Every day, all day, living for heaven. Whew, isn't that incredible? Being ready for heaven. Peter to the Jews of dispersion, he said in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning promises, as some men count slackness. But he's long-suffering. God is patient toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh, we say we love God, but we don't want to say we're sorry. But that's what God wants. He wants everybody to come to know him. Remember John 14? In my Father's house are many mansions, right? If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He didn't say that I'm going to prepare a place for all these super Christians out there, for all these religious people out there. You know what Jesus said in John 14? He said, I go to prepare a place for you, for you. And having the knowledge of this, I don't want anything to do with hell, because Jesus has already prepared a place for me. Am I prepared to go there? Are you ready for heaven today, right now? Or are you thinking about that good meal you got coming in the... It's okay if you're thinking about that too, but I need you to have your mind focused on heaven today. Today. Let me tell you something. Again, I don't want anything to do with hell. I want to prepare my life in such a way that I'm prepared for heaven. And God wants us to live for him daily so that we might live with him eternally. Daily here, eternally in heaven. So every day, let's make God the priority. I'm not talking about a priority or some other priority. I'm talking about the priority. There are so many things in this life that can become deadly substitutes for God, can't they? There are good things. Listen to me. There are some good things in this life that if we're not careful, can become deadly substitutes for God. I need to remember that. And I need to make sure that God is not one of my priorities, but that he is the priority, period. I need to remember that. Also, that I filter my everyday life through the lens of God, that I live every day for the glory of God. Here's what else we need to do. Let's love the church. Can we love the church? I'm not talking about this brick building that we sit in with the air conditioning and nice chandeliers and soft pews. We're not talking about that. We're not advocating that you be blind and naive even believing that the people who make up the church are perfect and sinless. Here's what 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, Amplified Version. The God of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving to prevent them from seeing the illuminating light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Hebrews 10:39. But our way is not that of those who shrink back to destruction, but we are of those who believe, relying on God through faith in Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and by this, we have confident faith that preserves our soul. You and I make up the church, not the unbelieving. You and I make up the church, and God loved us even in our imperfections. And I'm calling you to love the church in the same manner as God loves us. We are the bride of Christ. So we love Christ as Christ loved the church. The church. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 14. Listen to God. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren, and he who does not love his brother abides in death. Abides in death. As Christians, we love and we live all day, every day. All day, every day. We're only one breath away from death. That's incredible. And if that's the case, are you ready today to take your last breath and go to heaven? That's what it ought to mean. Amen. The place is already prepared for you. Are you ready to go? That's the question. One last breath, heaven. That's a thought, isn't it? Here's what also we need to do. Let's invite people into the presence of God. I mean, everybody can't preach. Everybody can't teach. Everybody can't volunteer. Everybody can't teach an open Bible class. But what we all can do is what happened in John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verses 43 through 46. Let's look at it. We're going to read this together. And we're going to wrap this jigsaw puzzle. I hope the jigsaw puzzle is coming together for you. And a lot of pieces scattered out. Some were put together. John 1, 43 through 46 says this. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, can anything good come from Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. Come and see. We can all do that. We can speak these three words and invite someone to know Jesus like you know Jesus. Invite someone to come and see. It's come and see. It's an open invitation to join us as we worship a true and living God in his presence. Come and see. But this is a culture that seems to have both feet planted firmly in midair. But the fact is, there are some things for which we've got to stand up for. We can't have our feet planted in midair all the time. We've got to stand sometimes. And we've got to stand daily. I mean, with the continual decline of moral and ethical values, with the lack of commitment to God's word, you know, it makes for a weary and burdened daily life, doesn't it? Doesn't it get weary and burdensome sometimes? It does. It does. If that's the case, God knew it. So here's the coup de grace. Here's one final blow to the life of despair that you're living. Here's one final blow. Here's the coup de grace right here. You know it. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me. Simple, huh? Come to me today. All you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and today you will find rest for your souls. Come to me today if you want rest today. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to me. That's what he said. Jesus has become for us who believe in him, for those of us who trust in him and those who are willing to live all day, every day for him, Jesus says in this verse that he has become our rest. Boy, when you live in a life, daily life like we live in, we all want rest, don't we? Jesus says, just come to me. I am your rest. I'm your rest. The whole world, church, the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And we are not of those who eat the bread of the wicked. So we have one simple prayer. Our prayer to God is a simple one. Matthew 6:11, you familiar with it? Give us this day, all day, every day. Give us this day our daily bread. Daily bread. That's all we want. Here's one of the most favorite scriptures in the Bible to me. I love this scripture. It says so much. Proverbs 30, verses 7 through 8. You can write that down. If you can mark it. You can remember. It's a beautiful scripture. Proverbs 30, 7 through 8. Two things I ask of you, Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me today. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Isn't that incredible? Lord, I don't want to be a liar. I don't want to be known for falsehoods. Lord, don't refuse me before I die. And while I'm living, don't give me poverty, but and don't give me riches either, but just only my daily bread. Day by day, Lord, feed me. Day by day, Lord, keep me. Day by day, Lord, love me. Day by day, Lord, just comfort me. Day by day, Lord, allow me to live in your presence. Give me my daily bread, Lord, every single day of my life. Day by day, breathe on me, Lord. Day by day, hold me, Lord. Day by day, Lord, I need you to love me. Day by day, Lord, I know that I'm a broken pot. I need you to fix me, Lord, every day. Life will only appear to us one day at a time. One day at a time. And this is what James said about that life that appears to you in James 4:14, Amplified Version. Yet you do not know the least thing about what may happen in your life tomorrow. What is secure in your life? You are merely a vapor, a mist, a puff of smoke, or a wisp of steam from a cooking pot. It's visible for a little while, and then it vanishes and disappears. Look what he says, into thin air. What is your life? It appears one day at a time, and that's quick. Few days and full of trouble, man born of a woman. Life only appears to us one day at a time. But life in Christ is eternal. It's eternal. So Paul to the church in Colossae, this is what he said in Colossians 3:4. Talk about life. I need you to hear this one. He says, when Christ, who is your life. Nah, that's saying something there. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. How about that for life? Can you allow Christ to be your life? Because when Christ, who is our life, when he appears, you're going to appear with him in glory as well. Here's what John the Revelator had to say in Revelation 21, 2 and 4. John the Revelator said these words. Then I, John, saw the holy city. Oh, I saw New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. God lives in me, John is saying. God lives in me, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them, and he will be their God. Then he goes on to say this. Oh, and we love this one. We've made songs about this one. And God will wipe away every tear. Uh-uh. And we're not talking about daily because we're talking about eternally right now. We're talking about living in heaven, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, like we look at it every day here. There shall be no more sorrow, like we look at it every day here. There shall be no more crying, like we see it every day here. John the Revelator said there will be no more pain. How you doing with that? How you doing with life all day, every day? Oh, you can call it what you want, a rat race. You can call it a struggle. You can call life whatever you want to call it. But when Jesus, who is your life, appears, are we going to live with him in heaven? How about you? Are you ready today? Are you ready to embrace God today? To love God as he's loved you today? Are you ready to give your heart away to God today? Again, as I look out there, I know that you and I, we all want to do better than what we're doing. And we can. And we can. God calls us. He calls us to life. Oh, he calls us to life. You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 30, when it was getting ready to enter into the land of Canaan, he says, you choose life. Choose life. And choose life with God, because life comes at us so fast. It's coming at us right now. But it doesn't matter if it comes at you or not, because Christ lives in us already. Amen. For those of you who are Christians, who haven't embraced the lifestyle of Christianity that God has called you to, if you say you love him, then you can repent. You ought to. You need to. For those of you who are not Christians, I got to tell you, living a life in the love of God is indescribable. Having the love of God in your life is indescribable. You can't know it. And you will never know it unless you surrender your will to God today. He calls you to hear his word, John 6:45. He calls you to believe that he is the Christ in John 8:24. He calls you to repent of your sins, Romans 10:9-10. He calls you to confess Christ. Confess Christ, Romans 10:9-10. He calls us to be baptized in water for the remission of our sins. He says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. We're talking about the love of God today, church. The love of God every day, but especially right now. If we can help you embrace the love of God, won't you come as we stand and sing God's invitation song?
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home, come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for sinners, come home. 'Tis for you and me, let us haste, so haste to his brink. 'Tis the fount of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink. and me, thirsty soul. Thirsty soul, hear the well call. 'Tis a fountain that's open for all.
Good morning. We have come into another important part of our Lord's worship service, which is communion. Let us take a second to get our minds ready. All right, I'll be reading in Matthew chapter 26, and it reads, "As they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup and gave thanks, giving it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine until that day I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.'" Let's have a prayer. Let us pray. Thank you, dear Lord, for this bread and the cup which represents your Son's broken body and his blood. We ask that we may partake of this with clean hands and pure hearts. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Now, concerning collection, "But I say unto you, he has soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he has soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Every man according to the purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudging or necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." If you would like to give, you can do so in the collection box after church. Let us pray. Thank you, dear Lord, for the monies that were accepted today, dear Lord, those who wanted to give and those who could not give at this time. We ask that these monies be used for the upbuilding of your kingdom, dear Lord. Bless those that oversee it. In Jesus Christ, we all pray. Amen.